That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is it, first or second day? First day of August.
Second
day of August, it sure is. Man, I don't know what that day it is. I don't live on calendars, that's for sure. But good morning. We welcome you to the Radio Ranch. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard here to introduce everybody and get things rolling. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant out there, and thank you for joining us. Got a, I guess you'd call it full house. Got all the Wranglers here. You know, just about since Branson, we've had somebody traveling or going here, going there, doing this, and that's the way it is sometimes with all the things to do here in the ministry and the Radio Ranch. But we're here this morning, got our coffee, got our Bibles, and we hope you'll join us out there. And we'll ask Jason to open us up in prayer, and we'll go from there.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we just ask for your blessing upon this Saturday morning coffee time. We ask that you guide us and direct us in our thoughts here, that you give us the words to speak, that you continue to protect us, Father. Oh, we look to you for the protection that we need. We tap into that power of Psalms 91 and just ask, Father, that you deliver us, that you be our deliverer. We pray that people put their trust in you. As we look around at these perilous times, these Day of the Lord events taking place all around us, every direction that we look, from disease, sickness, to this invasion, Father, we know that you're greater than all of these things. And we just ask, Father, for you to be our deliverer, to guide us, to direct us, to protect us. In you we put our trust, Father, and we're grateful to be able to do so. We ask that you strengthen us, that you guide us and direct us. For this war that's taken place in this country, Father, we pray that those that dig a pit for us, Father, let them be the ones that are caught in it. Let them be caught in their plots, Father. We pray that you come against them and with the power that they come against us, Father, that you see to it that they are dealt with properly and accordingly. You know each and every one of them, and you know how to deal with them real good. We just come against them in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against them with imprecatory prayer power that you've given us access to. Oh, Father, we ask that you hone in on them and that you pick them out and that you just see to it the ones that need to be dealt with immediately, that you deal with them, Father. We do pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation, pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we pray and petition for the saints. We pray that you deliver our people from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the powers, the forces that come against us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you look in the headlines today, and it reminds you of the headlines of 5 years ago. And you look at them, it'll probably remind you of the headlines 10 years ago and 20 years ago. It just gets, I think, a little worse, a little more detailed. The names and places have changed. Certainly not to protect the innocent, like the old Dragnet TV show they used to talk about. But they are perilous times, as Jason prayed. But we certainly aren't to crawl under a rock. We're to rejoice always. Praise the Lord. His word is coming true. It's always come true, and it continues to. And Jason, I'm glad you mentioned that about Psalms 91. You know, I think many times that we remember that we have that as protection. But you know, there's new people coming on the ministry, and even people that have been around for years that are growing, that are just coming to the realization, hopefully anyway, of, you know, I mean, we got to do something. What are we going to do? This Ebola is coming from one side, and they're just flying the guys in that are sick. Oh, they're going to treat them here, and we're being invaded on the southern border, and the dollar's diving, and what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Pray.
You know, abide in Christ. And if you abide in Christ, if you dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, it won't come unto you. That's what the Bible says. You can believe it or not. And I really think that's what it comes down to. It's what you believe and act on one way or the other. I think we talked a few weeks ago that we truly are slaves. You're either a slave to sin and corruption or a slave to Christ. And there is no in-between. You serve him or you serve the world. And when you serve the world, and guess what? You roll your dice, you pay your money, you take your chances with things like Ebola and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of illegals coming in from who knows where. And you take your chances with the financial situation and the economic policies and the ungodly government and the sicknesses and the diseases. But when you abide in Christ, oh, now that's a different story.
Yeah, it has to me. When you're talking there, I'm thinking of jurisdiction. Whose jurisdiction are you under? You know, and everybody. You know, a lot of people will think that we're under the Babylonian jurisdiction, and we are in Babylon. There's no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean you serve Babylon. You know, and it means sometimes you have to do things that you normally wouldn't do to drive down the road,
right?
You know, or walk down the road, or whatever you're doing. But it's slavery. Paul called it a slavery. That he was a slave to Christ, and a servant, and a friend. I mean, there's so many things, you know. I mean, and we got to claim all those things as being, and we have to serve our master, our king, and be under his jurisdiction to the best possible way we can. And thinking of it as when you're a little child, you know, there's times where you're at a place where you can still obey your father. But yet, somebody else might be telling you to do something different. And you got to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and do what you have to do. But you can still obey the one you love, you know.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that there. You know, when you're a slave to the world does with you as it sees fit. Because that's what the master does with the slave. But when you're a slave to Christ, well, then he says, you know, you're no longer a slave, but he calls you friend. He calls you friend. And you get to be called son. And then you are no longer a slave, but an heir to the promise. And anyway.
Yeah, the more we see these things going on all around us, what it should be doing is strengthening our prayer life, because yes, it's spiritual warfare, and there's, the more you look into it, the more you realize that there is no way out of this thing. It's not going to happen politically. It's not going to happen any other way but through repentance.
Amen. Amen.
Well, and I think it's important right now too to you know, watch your attitude. You can look at things in different perspectives. You know, you can look at this whole situation and you can say, oh, well, this is sad. This is scary. I'm frightened. What are we going to do? And work yourself up in a frenzy. Or you can say, this is exciting. You know, I mean, when you can see things coming down, you know, you can look at them in different aspects, and your whole attitude will affect your entire life. You know, you can look at this as, oh yeah, there's things to pray about, there's things to pray for. You know, this is exciting. God's going to deliver his people. And, you know, I mean, if you think about that, you know, it can completely change your outlook on a lot of things.
Yep.
You know, our people are the kind of people that they always root for the underdog. You know, when they watch movies, they like the underdog movie. You know, it comes down, we know what's going to happen. We might know what's going to happen already. It comes down right to the wire, and you know, the underdog wins. You know, and that just puts a smile on our face. Well, we're that underdog.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Right. Faith is the victory.
I think Luke 18:1 tells us to pray and not lose heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something, you know, that's something we have to remember to do, and remember to tell our fellow servants, our fellow brethren to do, because some people forget to do that. They get caught in like Jason was talking, where they're fretting and anxiety, and we get prayers about that quite often. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Pray and not lose heart, because the enemy goes after the heart, you know, and that's something we got to watch over all the time.
Amen. Amen. And as was said, there is certainly plenty to be in prayer about, but the times that we're in, they should be strengthening times. You know, it's like 2 days before, 2 days over the summer before football. You know, it's time to kind of, it's time to, you know what's coming. And so it's time to, hey, you know what's coming. You see it's coming. You see the signs of the times. And so be in shape. We're not talking about it in the physical, but in the spiritual.
Yeah, if you played around and did nothing when those 2 days hit, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You'll be puking in the can in just a matter of
absolutely
hours.
You know? Because it's coming one way or the other. And if you're going to participate, now, and that's the thing, is you don't always get to choose if you're going to participate or not, you know, at least to the level. But you know it's coming, and we have opportunities to increase our prayer life. We have opportunities to increase, you know, how and when we pray for each other.
It's called practice. I mean, what are you going to practice? Are you going to practice, you know, for righteousness? Or are you going to practice, you know, worldly things, and then it's going to come upon you like a thief in the night? I mean,
yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Because the storms come, you know. It may not be Ebola, but, you know, other sicknesses come. And it may not be the hordes of illegals coming in from the south, but other trials come. You know, whether it's in work, whether it's in family, whether it's in our, I mean, in every aspect of our life, not just the worldly, but the Christian as well. Just like we read about through here, you know, you think David wanted to go over into the camp of the Philistine and hang out with them for who knows how long and act stupid and crazy? You think that was something that he thought earlier in his life? You know, when I get to this certain point, I'm going to go over there into the, you know, I think I liken it to us, you know, going out to Hollywood and hanging out with the perverts and the homosexuals and the filthy and going to their parties and participating in all, and
or just hanging out with people that you know hate your family.
Yeah.
And you've got to suck it up and act like it doesn't bother you because you know they say things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, they give you innuendos and they...
And you have to go, yeah. You know, I think he had to go against his godly nature. He had to go against his fleshly nature too, because he probably wanted to wipe him out, you know, nine ways to Sunday. And but I don't think it was something that he wanted to do, but it was something he had to do. And for that time he had to do that, and it strengthened him. It gave him knowledge that he wouldn't have had any other way. And it helped him see that, you know, and that God delivered him through that. And he didn't lose faith through it.
Yeah, you look at the story in Numbers 13, too, where Moses sends men to explore the land of Canaan, and they come back and they say, yeah, it is. It's a beautiful land full of milk and honey. But then they start saying how big these people are, and, you know, how there's no way that we could ever take the land. And Caleb stands up and says, hold it. He says, I say we go up there and take the land, take possession of the land.
Amen.
Yeah. Didn't God tell us?
That's the attitude we have to have, you know. If God be for us, right, then who can be against us?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. Hath not God said?
But you notice how just the change in an attitude can make the whole outlook look a whole lot different.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's been said that attitude is 90% of anything. You know, is the glass half full or is it half empty? Oh, it's half empty, I'm almost out. Or no, it's half full and it's filling up. You, Jason, I think you're right on it, right there. It is, it's attitude, you know.
But look at even that, in that same story, the Israelites were so afraid that they gave a false report that the land was devours, you know, every living thing, and that it was, you know, dark and there was no point in trying to take it, because they were afraid that if they gave the truth that it was the land of milk and honey, that they would have to go against that great enemy.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. And it was the land that, in my opinion at that time, that God had already given over to them, you know, told them it was theirs to possess.
Just like this land.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The true JERUSALEM.
Yeah. And that applies with us today, in that if, you know, when the people, at least in our recent history, you know, when the people know what the word says, then they can say, well, listen, but God said here. God said this. And so when the world comes against it, or your parents come against it, if you're grown and they're not raised up in the word, or your friends or your family, you know, you can go back and say, but wait a minute, it says this right here. And our enemy understands it, and they've perverted it. You know, take tithing, for example. You know, if you want the devourer rebuked, tithe. And God says, just test me on this. If I won't bless you more than you can imagine. And see, we picture sometimes... you know, that means, you know, a different brand new vehicle to drive every day and four mansions, a summer home here and a winter home there. And no, that's not how God deals with blessings. Sometimes he does. But
yeah, but you know what? that's all about attitude, too.
It absolutely is.
Your attitude is, okay, God, I'm doing it. Now, how come you're not blessing me? Guess what? Ain't going to happen.
You need
you have to do it with a cheerful heart.
Absolutely. And you need this to not not miss the forest for the trees. You have to know what you know, what are his blessings. Read through Proverbs and see what his blessings are. You know, a proper wife, children, your health, you know, having your eyes opened to the truths, not being blinded by the lies. I mean, there's tons of blessings that the world today, you know, they point at get rich, get your education. You know, how many times did our pastor preach on that, even from a generation or two or three generations ago when he was a young man? Get a college degree, go to college. He said that, you know, that was a big shift back, well, that's been, what, 40, 50 years ago now.
He even bought into the lie originally.
Absolutely. Almost our whole society did. That this is what you have to do to be successful. And it was all in the physical. And the Bible got put on the shelf and the dust collected on it in many homes. But it's just not so, you know. And when we go back to the Word and say, wait a minute, this is what his blessings are. And not only his blessings, but as Jason prayed from that Psalms 91 and from all through the Word, his protection. Just like he protected David in the camp of the enemy, just like he protected Daniel in the heart of Babylon, getting a Babylon paycheck. I mean, that his paycheck was every bit signed by the king. You know, like many today come in that are signed by the governor of the state or the secretary of the treasurer or whatever. Many today have to work in that Babylonian system and for Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
But still,
can you give the phone number out down there? I got people that keep calling in trying to get online down here.
Sure. We're coming to you from the Radio Ranch. 307-745-5913 is the number. And I think we've got that up on the website if our little daily update's big enough. I think we got the Friday and the Saturday update on there at the same time. But 307-745-5913, and the lines are open, the button's pushed. Kyle, you had something there. Looked like you were...
I looked up Micah 4, you know, because, you know, as we all know and we've all been taught through the Word by our pastor that this is the New Jerusalem. You know, and it clears it up in Micah 4 how we go to Babylon and how this country was built upon our King Jesus Christ. But we go to Babylon, and then guess what? We're promised by the same word that we... Well, I'll just read the last, from 10 on to 13, the last of Micah 4. It says, written, "Arise and labor to give birth, daughter of Zion, like a woman in childbirth. For now you will go out of the city, dwell in the field, and go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies." So that's a promise right there. I mean, that's going to come to pass, whether you believe it or not. So you might as well believe it. I mean, it's going to come to pass just like the verses before that came to pass.
So shouldn't we have, I think, tying that to the, like Jason talking about having the right attitude, and John's mentioned it too. So shouldn't we be excited about going to Babylon like we are about going to Branson? I know my children are, Dad, when's Branson coming up? You know, all year long. Oh, I can't, next year at Branson this. And we had such a good time at Branson there. And so let's go to Branson. Let's go to Babylon because that's where we're rescued. That's where we're saved.
Yeah, I mean, the word excited has many meanings.
Yeah, I know, I'm being a little facetious here.
But it's exciting, like John was saying earlier. It's exciting the times we're living in. So, yeah, in that kind of excitement, absolutely. You know, but let's go ahead and read on. "And now many nations have been assembled against you."
Yeah, here they come.
"Who say, let her be polluted." And that's, I mean, they're doing more than "let her be polluted."
There's
they're
a
polluting
lot,
it. But,
there's a lot of pollution coming in.
"And let our eyes gloat over Zion." And aren't all the nations gloating over the way this nation is today? I mean,
oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they are making fun of the West and America all the... I mean, they mock us, they laugh at us. You know,
yes.
I mean, But anyway, I mean, this stuff is just happening. But they do not know that the thoughts of the Lord, and they do not understand his purpose. And yes, there's a purpose behind all this. And it's the same purpose that he always has had. But anyway, for he has gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor. And then verse 13, and this is where the smile comes back on your face. And this is basically what we've been talking about this morning. Arise and thresh, daughter of Zion, for your horn I will make iron, and your hooves I will make bronze, that you may pulverize many peoples, that you may devote to the Lord their unjust gain, and their wealth to the Lord of all the earth. That should bring a smile upon
absolutely
your face. And that's that excitement you're talking
about.
And
the people are to be excited and to prepare for that.
Yeah.
To prepare for that.
And it is all attitude.
Well, we're witnessing the invasion of the locusts right now, of Joel, as far as I'm concerned, with what's going on with this illegal aliens thing. I mean, we've talked about that, you know, we've been witnessing it for a while, but what people don't realize is it's about a 45-day trip from Guatemala and all those other countries that are coming here. And the ones that are here now are calling back home and saying that, hey, it's not so bad. They, you know, you may have to spend a couple nights on the floor in the immigration offices, but after that, they put you on a bus and they send you somewhere in the U.S. and give you a credit card and a place to live.
So there's
reports of whole villages leaving, heading across Mexico to get to this country. So we haven't even begun to see the impact of what's going on. And the other thing is, now Mexico is doing everything they can to facilitate those people coming over here. And there's reports as well of people in El Salvador. These are people that are convicted of major crimes that they're sending their prisoners across in that same trail, mixed in with them, just to get them out of their country. So, I mean, we're right there. We better hit our knees and realize that this is a spiritual warfare. And, I mean, God's wrath's coming. It's just a matter of we have to appeal to him for grace and mercy to be upon us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. We'll open up the phone lines almost halfway through the program this morning. And the program is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this first Saturday morning in August. If you hear it any other time, and you might, because we replay it. We'll replay it on Monday night at the regular broadcast hour, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern, because it plays on a different frequency, and we have people that can tune in and get it better sometimes in the evening. So we do that. And then we remind you that these broadcasts are archived at our websites, scripturesforamerica.org, and also our network website, sfawbn.com. And so, if you can, we encourage you to...
Good.
Just saying, you know, take a look at those websites. Our broadcast schedule's there, and there's a lot... We continually have new people coming on. I got a couple phone calls this week from some new people asking questions, and what about this, and what about that, and our website, if you have access to it, is a good place to start. There's a lot of free material there. You can just read it right there in a PDF format. And if you'll start with that and be in prayer for truth, that'll go a long way to get a lot of questions answered.
What I was going to say was this week I've been doing some research based on the invasion, Locust and Joel. I'm probably going to bring something about that tomorrow, but in doing that research, what I found was, remember, in 1963 they removed the Ten Commandments from the school system, right? 1964 they banned reading the Bible in the school system. But what people forget is in 1965 there was an Immigration Act which basically changed the position and allowed a bunch of third world country people into this country, because originally, from what I'm reading, is it was set up so that it would still be they still wanted the diversity, but there was the percentages of whites and Mexicans and African Americans and Jews and whatever were, you know, already set. And the idea was originally to keep that percentage no matter what, so that the majority of the people would be white, God-fearing Christian people who worshipped one God, Jesus Christ. And through that act, that's when it brought in all kinds of people worshiping different gods with different languages. And so it seems like there was a step up in the attack in the 60s there, around 63, 64, 65 of the Antichrist.
Well, if that would have happened, John, then I was born in 1965, then that would mean that society today would be different than society then. Huh.
Yeah.
And it is a little different. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Wranglers. This is Guy.
Hey, good morning, Guy.
I've been busy, you know, serving, worshiping God and doing what I do, but I wanted to share this with you. It's something I wrote down. It's considering the brief experience called America and the fine stock of humanity, the sons of Jacob, our forefather. These people revealed to the world the power of our God who called us. Typically, the Spirit of the Lord was known and given reverence in the land. To the world, we revealed the Israelite ability of visualization, contemplation, and manifestation, the unique and profound gift of imagination and creativity. As the Adamite is made in the image of his God, the great Creator, I am of the Lord and he is in me. His spirit dwells within. Today, America has only a remnant of our tribes and clans, and this small portion of Israel will be granted access to the gift, the blessings of our God to his people by faith, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We are priests to our God, preparing a banquet to hand to our King, whose name is Jesus the Christ, the salvation and sacrifice for the wife of our God. And her name is Israel. Praise the Lord. We who are eager for our King to return and bring righteousness and justice for his remnant, let us worship in faith as we love the law given and forgiven by our King, the King of Kings. We will present to him all that there is in our grasp, the kingdom. Praise the Lord. How do you like that?
Yeah, that's great.
Hey. I like it, Guy. I like it.
I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. That's good stuff. Hey, call us at the office sometime with your new address.
Okay.
If you have a physical address, Guy, I know you've kind of moved around, and so give us a call sometime at the office number and
okay.
Don't give it over the air here, or there's no telling what kind of mail you might get.
Did you guys like that?
I did. You know, and my thought with it is, When his people finally repent and see and change their attitude, that's kind of what we've been talking about this morning, attitude. When his people finally repent and change their attitude and return to him in humility, humbleness, oh Lord, we like the prodigal son, you know, his people right now are down in the pigsty, eating and slopping with the hogs in many ways. In almost every way. But when they finally realize that, and in humility and repentance return to him, then what you read, then that flows from them. You know? And it's God, you've blessed us with all this so that we can bless the world. I mean, that's how God blesses the world. That's how he can wipe out the Ebola virus if he wants to, is when his people repent and return to him. Well, then he does that through his people, but it's got to be his way, you know. You don't come to God, proving him scientifically and say, "See, there you go." It's only through repentance, through a what's the Bible say, a contrite heart, a broken spirit.
2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yep, and I think you touched on it, Guy. Thanks for sharing that.
Okay. I'm going to try to listen to you on my radio. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
God bless you.
307-745-5913.
Yeah, what you can see is what the goal was of that act of Immigration Act of 1965 was to replace the white European Christian with a bunch of heathens from third world countries and divide the religion, because the original motto of this country was one nation under God.
Yep. One nation under God.
Yep, the nations were gathered against us, and they were saying, let her be polluted. And that's the stuff they were doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, this was the one haven that they hadn't taken over. They'd already infiltrated Europe and most of the other countries, and for a long time there was men who were the watchmen over the house of Israel, and unfortunately they fell asleep, and those antichrists infiltrated, and pretty ingeniously, really. I mean, they got into positions of power, because we're not those kind of people. We don't look to rule other people's lives. We look to live our lives and follow our God, and not that we don't want those that don't out of our lives, but we don't seek to those positions in government and positions of authority that rule over other people, and they can't help but do it.
Yeah, and it was worse than falling asleep. They were dogs that couldn't bark. They were whoring themselves for the buck. I mean, anything you can think of is what they were doing. And you know, right. I used to not understand the love. You know, the love of money, how it was the root of all evil, because it seemed like a lot of things in the Bible had nothing to do with money. But really, when you get down right to it, it does. I mean, even when you start adhering to false doctrines and deceitful spirits, you know, usually it's for the buck. It's for the growth.
Right.
It's for
greed.
The, you know, yeah.
Greed. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, we...
Well,
they
were pretty ingenious, really, though, the way they did it through protocols, you know, infiltrating the churches. And
the
once they won... the leaders of the churches, and they got people actually following those people that are leading the churches, then they won.
Yep.
Because it's a spiritual warfare, and if you get the people's spiritual beliefs to lead otherwise than what the Bible teaches, then
you got it. Then you got it. Hey, phone lines are ringing up like a...
Good. Christmas tree?
I was going to say like the lights in town before 6 a.m. when they're just blinking everywhere, so... Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, I'm George from Texas.
Good morning, George.
You know, the thing is, like I say about the false doctrines, I got to pray and ask God to forgive me for embracing the doctrine that Israel, that if we blessed Israel with all these arms and stuff to go after their enemies, that we would be blessed. And, you know, waking up and finding out the truth, this country's under a divine curse endorsing this phony Jewish state called Israel, because we're attacking our fellow Christians, allowing this country to go persecute them in Gaza and the West Bank. That's my revelation, what I see.
Well, George, you're absolutely right. The Bible, there's a Bible principle that says, I will bless those that bless you, my people, and I will curse those that curse you. And that's true. It's just you have to understand who he's talking about. And
there's a price to be paid for that innocent blood that shed.
That's right. That's right, there is. But, George, you're right on track with praying for forgiveness.
Yeah, we've all done things.
And we all, you know, have done that, and we should all continue to do that.
And, you know, the thing is, in, like, Mexico and Central America, for them sending their people trying to bring down this nation, you know, their nations are cursed. And I bet you to stop the stem of flow of illegal aliens, I wouldn't be surprised if they got hit from hurricanes from both ends. I mean, you look every hurricane season, they're always getting hit with hurricanes. Why? Because I believe they're hurting God's people in the United States. I mean, they're a cursed nation. You look at Mexico since the Treaty of since Texas, they have been trying to take back America, and they've been a cursed nation ever since.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. You know, they have natural resources. I mean, from Mexico all the way down, they have great natural resources, but they haven't. You're right; they haven't been blessed the way this nation has. They can't use them. They can't benefit from them the way that this nation has in the past.
Well, I'm just saying, but they try to like I say, send their migrants. They're trying to take down this nation because it. I mean, they're trying to take down this nation. They curse this nation. They hate this nation.
Right, but remember, George, they are a rod in the hand of God. He is causing it. I mean, he directs all things, but it sure seems like, you know, he's doing it. Why? Why is this happening? Because of our sin in this nation. Because we haven't done what he tells us to do in his word. It's why he's bringing them in. Yeah, sure, they exactly. gather together, but it's him that...
They're
it's
his
God,
army.
They're his army. It's God that directs the hearts of the king, whether it's the president of Guatemala or Mexico or anywhere. And...
You're exactly right, and I just, like I say, but, you know, I pray for these, like I say, I pray for, you know, revival starting in these countries south of the border, because I know, you know, them coming, embracing the teachings of Jesus, that they might have a prosperous in a righteous country, you know, well, because I think that serves our best interest.
Well, George, the thought occurs to me, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, is God told Abraham that his seed would be a blessing to the whole world. And until we repent, see, if you want them people to be blessed, we have to repent and follow God first for that to happen. I that's the way I see it. When we follow 2 Chronicles 7:14, and then we are the shining light, we are the example to the world.
Yeah. Well, all other nations
and then the other nations will be blessed through us and follow our example. And why are the other nations cursed right now? You know, why do they have diseases and hurricanes? And why is the world in such turmoil? Because we, as a group, as his people, are not doing what he says to do.
Well, you look at Russia, you know, they're so like returning back to the teachings of Christ. I don't know how much, but that's a country that's getting pretty stable, and like I say, they look like the light of that beacon. I mean, that's you know, that's something I don't really know, but you know, looking at Russia, I mean, they're doing pretty well. I mean, they're encouraging their people to have children. They're you know, they're talking about embracing Christianity, and they told the homosexuals you can't teach our children. You know, they're doing things that we ought to be doing, and they're moving up.
Absolutely.
What's your opinion?
Yeah.
No, they are. It seems like it. Seems like it. Hey, George, thanks for the call. We got another caller here. We'll try to get them on before the program's over. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You know, as far as the sin of the nation and the people doing it, you have, of course, the people that are doing the sin, but there's something that's changed, that is increasingly changing, is that the ministers, the pulpits, by and large, are teaching the congregations not only to accept the sinners doing the sin,
tolerance,
but even to, you know, even past tolerate, but that you must support them, you must embrace them, you must even put them in the pulpit to teach the congregation. So it's way past even the sin. Those who will tolerate it are probably a thousand times greater of a percentage of your population than those that are actually doing it. But you're all going to be held accountable for it, because what you condone, you're guilty of. If you accept it and you tolerate it, you're guilty of it also. But this is all, none of this would be possible. The sinner wouldn't be, you know, wouldn't be sticking their heads way up and doing what they do if the pulpits weren't softening up their congregation by distorting the scripture to make their congregation believe that never judge.
Absolutely.
you know, Kyle, I know, you know, the other day you said you don't need to go outside the Bible. But, yes, this is true. You don't need to go outside the Bible for your salvation. But the problem, but the real problem is that the greatest deceivers that are doing the worst damage to our people, they also don't need to go out of the Bible, because they're taking what's in the Bible and manipulating the way they're using it and presenting it to people to get them to believe that what is in there is saying something different than what is really there. And
well, yeah, they've even come out with a Bible now, queer-friendly Bible, the Queen James Version, you know.
Queen James.
And but, there's reports that there's churches that are using that Bible. Yeah.
And what happens is the it's because the people aren't in the Bible. The people won't read their Bible.
They're
they'd rather
like the Bereans.
Right, to search out a matter.
That's right.
Right. They're like, oh, that.
Let
no
one
but that,
in any way deceive you. It will not come unless the apostasy comes first.
And the apostasy.
Well, what are we
here?
Witnessing? We're
the
witnessing that apostasy.
Yep. I got a challenge for your remnant out there, and that is, if you go to a church, you go to a Baptist church that you just love, or you go to a little Free Will down here, or Evangelical Free, that's kind of big here in town, or whatever. You know, just stay home tomorrow and read your Bible.
You get way more out.
Just stay home. Read, you know, just read your Bible. And I got something beeping here. I don't know what it is, but anyway.
Read Joel.
And read Joel. Yeah. Yeah.
Three chapters.
You come to church and you watch John. You can, you know, John's going to cover most of Joel tomorrow at the church is kind of the plan. Stay, read your Bible. Just open it up. Okay? Today's Saturday morning. Maybe you listen to this Monday evening and you went to church. You know, if you're listening to this on Monday. Open your Bible. Pray to God, and you know, I ain't going to give you a sinner's prayer here, but just say, Lord, show me truth. But be like George in Texas. Lord, forgive me for not believing the truth.
For being deceived.
Forgive me for being deceived. Forgive me of my sins I know about and the ones I don't. If I've been deceived, open my eyes. And then open the Bible and read part of it. Read something back in the Old Testament. Read something in the New Testament. It doesn't matter what. Like John said, read Joel and see if we're not a land full of locusts today.
You know, I always loved, and this is one of the things that, one of the many things that attracted me to this ministry, was when Pastor Peters would say, don't trust me.
Absolutely.
Make sure what I'm saying lines up with the Word of God. You know, basically he would at least respect a man who wouldn't just believe everything that came out of his mouth, you know. And that's where we've got to be as a people. That's why Paul got so frustrated when he'd go back to these churches that he set up, and he'd ask him questions like, "Who bewitched you?" I mean, because all of a sudden they're believing something that wasn't gospel truth. I mean, and we got to remember that we're in a different covenant. We are in the end time covenant, whatever end time means, end of an age, obviously.
Yes.
Where we, it's like this stuff that's going on in Israel. When you read, there was stuff going on in Israel after Christ died and was resurrected from the Christ, because it was turned over in, I think, 33 years later in 1960, or in the year 66.
Yeah.
So, but when you read the writings of what's going on there, they're not mentioning the Romans against the Jews. What they were mentioning was the churches and how they were either doing what the Word of God says or not doing. We're in a kingdom age. Uh-huh. It's all about the kingdom. You know what I mean? It's not about, well, we should hope that all these countries, get right with God. We're beyond that now. We're in a kingdom age, and the end is coming. Richard's going to touch tomorrow on Psalms 91, where 10,000 are fallen on your right hand and 1,000 on your left. We're in that age, you know, where we need to care about each other, our brethren, the ones that say they're Christians, and correct them from the errors of their way, and Micah 4 is going to be true. Mm-hmm. God is going to make our feet iron, and we're going to tread upon these serpents And I mean, see, we're just in a different time. Go ahead.
But we're not going to do it politically. We got to get the mindset, no king but King Jesus.
Absolutely.
If you think back to many years ago, our pastor started the Jesus for President, you know, and a lot of people poo-pooed it and laughed. And I got to admit, I'm probably one of them back then. But really, if his people will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, there's only one way out of this, and that's to restore King Jesus to his throne for his people. But our people won't even do that. They continue to look for the lesser of two evils and vote for that. I mean, a lot of our people don't vote, but still, we're not going to get this thing back through the political system. And as soon as you realize that, as soon as you hit your knees, and there's another time to repent for being deceived that you think there you can get it back through the political system.
Here's where you start getting
God's
it back.
God's not going to deliver us.
You start getting it back when you're baptized for the remission of sins and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's when,
and you're removed.
That's when the mind and the heart is affected, and that's when we start getting the kingdom back. You know, and we are. That's why we're under a different jurisdiction. You know,
and it starts one person at a time. One might be a family at a time. Might be one out of a family. Might be two out of a family. Just like when this nation was formed, one from a city, two from a town, and that's how it starts. It's that remnant. Read through the Bible. You know, it's not going to be the masses. I'm sorry. His word says, though Israel, and that's us. That's the Caucasian people today. That's who the true Israel of the Bible is. That's who the Hebrews were. That's who the Israelites, we were those people. That's who, you know, it's those that hear his voice. Read Isaiah 59. That was our, if you're reading through the Bible in chronological order, that's what you would have read this past Thursday. Read Isaiah 59. And it is that new, that's who he made the covenant with. And as Kyle said, we're in this new covenant.
If you don't want to be one of the 10,000 or one of the 1,000, then you better get in Christ.
Absolutely.
That's what's going to protect you from the plague.
Right. That's who it doesn't come. We got a caller back again. Oh, sorry about that. Heard some bleeps on the phone.
Yeah.
Maybe we lost the phone line there. But it is. That's the time that we're in. We're in the time that we've been practicing, and if you hadn't been, you better start practicing. And you can practice on your knees. A good prayer to practice is, again, what George from Texas said, Lord, forgive me for being deceived. You know, and if you pray that and you pray for truth, God will give it to you. He will. That's how he works. Now, what you do with it, you know, that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. That's the free will. That's the decision that comes in. But, you know, in talking about this Gaza war and all that's going on, and what George from Texas mentioned about, you know, you look at the land of Palestine over there, the land what they call Israel today, the Jewish-Israelite state, and it wasn't always that way. You look back even in the 40s, before the 40s, in the 1900s, and it was the Ottomans and the Turks, you know, that's who owned that land. That's who was there. Until basically the British ran them out in World War I, you know, and so the Jews, that wasn't the Jewish homeland. You know, the Ottomans and Turks had it for 2,000 years or 1,800 years or whatever. And so it's changed. And one of the things, and you mentioned, Kyle, and boy, we're almost running out of time here, aren't we? But one thing that this ministry opened up, and one reason it appealed to me is it answered the questions of the Bible. You know, and part of it is, you know, God says, hey, I'll, you know, should you help those that hate the Lord? Well, we've been helping. We helped create them. We've been helping a nation since before that 1965 and early 60s that John was mentioning. But since 1947, 1947, 1948, right after World War II, the UN, and you know, we were neck deep in that and still are. But designated the land of Palestine, as the Jewish homeland. And they allowed the Jews to move back in there and call it Israel. And
interesting how they did the same with Rome too. Established Rome as its own.
Yeah. And
nation.
So, but once that's happened, and we've been pouring billions of dollars in, taking money out of my pocket and your pocket and my grandson's pocket and your grandchild's pocket
and
the veterans' pocket and loading us with debt and blessing those that deny that Jesus is the Christ. And so you look at it, and it's the words of our pastor. Has the United States been blessed or cursed since 1947, 1948? Do we have more divorce or less divorce since then? Do we have more cancer or less cancer since then? Do we have more crime in the streets or less since then? And the answer is we got more. And we can you know, believe the propaganda. We're the greatest nation ever. Well, you know, that isn't that what Barnum and Bailey used to say? The greatest show on earth? And it's just a circus. And that's about where we are when we're apart from Christ. And as a people, we've moved apart from Christ. And
a pastor wrote a book, 25 years ago called America the Conquered?
Yeah.
Kind of lays out exactly what's been going on for the last 25 years.
It does. It does. Well, there's another hour. How about that? Well, Remnant, we thank you for joining us, whether it was on shortwave or internet, audio satellite. We thank you for joining us for coffee with the rank. I ran out of coffee this morning and got tongue-tied. It's Coffee with the Wranglers. We do thank you for joining us. We invite you to church tomorrow. Join us at church on the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 Central, and noon on the East Coast, if you go to that home page, scripturesforamerica.org, and you hit the live video stream in the upper left-hand corner, you can join us at church. We encourage you to do so. The Bible says not to forsake the assembly. This is a way you may not be there in person, but you can join in spirit, and you can, you know, we're a visual people. And we've found over the years, and it was a vision our pastor had, to be able to, if you can't come to church with us, to be able to bring church to you at your home. And if you don't get the internet, you don't have a good high-speed connection, we record the services on a two-hour DVD, and we mail out hundreds on Monday morning across the nation and across the world. And many people will watch it either during the week or the following Sunday. And so join us for church. You won't be disappointed. Pray that prayer. No, not the sinner's prayer, but that prayer for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me for being deceived. And he will, if you pray it. And he'll bring truth to you. Men, thanks a lot. We'll see you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
this country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, parking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.